In John's Gospel, chapter 12, Christ having entered into Jerusalem, we read these words from verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Christ's whole life in this world, his whole reason for coming to this world, concerned this hour, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This point in time, this moment, for this purpose. As this hour came upon him, he says, Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He came for a purpose. He came for a reason. But it was a purpose and a reason that cost him. It was a terrifying hour. An awful thing to endure. Something that no one, naturally speaking, could pass through. But he came because he loved his own, and he came for his own, to save his own. This hour and this man was long awaited for, long looked for, but it came. There was an awaiting for this hour by many, a longing for this hour by many, a looking for this hour by many, and an arriving of this hour for this man for whom they waited. Generations looked for the coming of Christ. Abraham of old looked down through the ages for that Saviour, that sacrifice, that Redeemer of whom his Lord had spoken. Job looked for his Redeemer. David looked for the Messiah. And yet they all lived and died and were laid in the grave generations before he came. And yet all time centered upon this man, this arrival, and the hour. The hour which commenced with the Passover, at which Christ sat with his disciples, at which they broke bread and drank wine on that night when he knew he would be betrayed, on that night when he knew he would be handed to the authorities, on that night when he knew he would be taken and tried and crucified. The Lamb of God came into the world to be slain. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world in the purpose of God came in time to actually be taken by the hands of men, beaten, bruised, and slain. The Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus, was chosen of God, anointed. He was born in the fullness of time. He grew to the age of a man. He was prepared for the sacrifice, and he was offered up unto God at this hour. The Lamb was chosen, born, prepared, and offered up at this hour. His people in him, for whom he came, whom he loved, for whom he suffered, his people too were chosen of God, were born in time, are prepared, and were offered up in Christ, with Christ, at this hour. They were one with their Saviour, one in Christ at this hour. But as with all time and all events, there is a looking for, an awaiting for, an arrival of, and then a looking back upon that event that comes and goes in time. In John chapter 12, we read Christ's words when he says, "The hour is come." But before it came, before that day arrived, he was looking and waiting and watching. He knew what would come upon him. He knew how he'd be rejected and deserted by all. He knew what his Father must do unto him as he hung upon the cross. As the Lamb of God, he knew the sacrifice he must endure. He knew what would come before him. But he had to wait. At the commencement of his ministry, in John chapter 2, we read of the marriage in Cana of Galilee, at which the mother of Jesus was present, And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Jesus came for this hour, the hour in which he would be glorified. But at Cana, his hour was not yet come. Why does he speak to the woman, his mother, in this way? What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. As though his connection with the woman concerned the hour. The hour had yet to come, so why do you ask of me? Why come to me saying they have no wine? Mine hour is not yet come. But she knew who he was, and she knew why he came. And in spite of his answer, she said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She knew who he was. Mary knew that that child that was conceived of her by the Holy Ghost was the Son of God. She knew he was her hope and his people's hope. She knew that when his hour did come, salvation rested in him. She knew that at this wedding, though they had no wine, he was the answer. She knew that though we may have no wine, he is the answer. She knew that though sinners lost in sin may have no wine, He's the answer, and the hour will come when he will bring forth the best wine for his own. Note the connection with the woman. There was a wedding in Cana. There is this woman, and there is the wine, which they had not. This woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had brought forth this child, her son, God's son, into this world. In him, though she was his physical mother, in him she looked for life and salvation. We're reminded of that woman spoken of in Revelation. John, who had that revelation of Jesus Christ given unto him, in which he looked upon the events of time from the beginning of time to the end of time, in such allegorical pictures in which Christ presented unto him a vision, a prophecy of what is and what is to come, wrote this gospel, in which he spake of the marriage at Cana and the woman, Mary, who spake unto the Son and said, They have no wine. In Revelation chapter 12, John also wrote, There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she have a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This woman, the church of which Mary is a figure in John, brought forth this child, whom the world hated, whom Satan, that dragon, hated, whom he sought to destroy, that old serpent. He sought to destroy this child brought forth of the woman, as prophesied unto Adam and to Eve when they fell in sin and were cast out of the garden. Eve was told that she'd have travail in labour, but that there would be one that would come that would crush the head of the serpent. She brought forth this child. The world sought to destroy him. Satan sought to destroy him. But in destroying him, in slaying Christ, he brought in salvation and everlasting life. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. The woman was cast into the wilderness. She waited for his coming. He came in the fullness of time. But he came for an hour for which she must wait. Generations had waited for the coming of Christ. David waited. Abraham waited. When Christ was born of Mary, she knew who he was. She watched him grow. She pondered everything that he said in her heart. At Jerusalem, when he was taken up as a child, she and her husband lost him and then found him in the temple with the scribes, asking questions and answering questions. And she said, Why are you here? And he said, I must be about my father's business. He came for a reason. He came for an hour. Woman, what have I to do with thee? They have no wine, she told him. They have no wine. They had no wine. They had no joy. They had no life. At the wedding, it was but wine that they lacked, that which would bring them joy. But the wine's a picture of that which Christ came to bring in for his people. They had no wine. They had no blood to propitiate the wrath of God. against their sins. They had no forgiveness for their sins. They had no covering of their sins. They had no righteousness, no hope, no salvation, no life, no joy. They had none. They had no wine. You too, by nature, have no wine. You have your sins which will damn you. You have your rebellion which kindles the wrath of God. You have your unbelief and your apathy towards the gospel which will stir up his anger. But you have no wine. You go forth through the brief moments of this world, of time, of your life. But the hour that you try to grasp hold of, the brief moment of time in which you rest all your hopes is soon gone. And then the wedding's over and you have no wine. You have nothing but your sin and the wrath and the judgment to come. They needed wine. A picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. They needed his blood. They needed their sins to be covered. They needed the wrath of God to be appeased, to be propitiated. They needed righteousness. They needed hope. They needed salvation. They needed life. They needed joy. They had none. They had no wine. But why ask him? His hour had not yet come. He came to shed his blood for many. He came to shed the blood of the New Testament, the wine for his people. He came to bring in the hope and the salvation that they longed for. But his hour had not come. But she asked and she looked, because by faith Mary, the church, beheld the Son and knew that he was the one who would save. He was the deliverer. He was the redeemer. He was the Messiah. He was all their hope. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. He'll bring forth wine. When his hour is come, he'll bring it forth. He came for this hour. That was his purpose. That was his aim. That's why he was there, this hour. This hour to bring in wine for his people. This hour to shed his blood for the people. This hour to bring in righteousness for the people. On the night in which he was betrayed, that night in John chapter 12, when he says, now the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, that night when there came a voice from heaven, I have both glorified thy name and will glorify it again. That night when the people heard and said that voice from heaven thundered. That night when Jesus said, now is my soul troubled. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. That night when Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. On that night, when Jesus had sat with his disciples, and that Judas, that man that should betray him, and break the bread and took the cup, he said, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it unto them, saying, drink ye all of it, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He took the cup, the wine, he drank it, and said unto his disciples, said unto the church, said unto the woman, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, your salvation, the wine. The hour had yet to come, but he came for it. The wedding, the marriage at Cana, was a picture of it. It pictured the uniting of the woman to her bridegroom, the bride and the bridegroom. It pictured the wedding of Christ with the woman. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But it was a picture of that wedding which was coming, that marriage which should come, which should be eternal, that marriage in which Christ took his bride. And at the hour, he went with her and was slain for her and took her sins and took them away and brought in righteousness and clothed her in it. He took her death and gave her life. He took the water and gave her wine. He took the woman and made her in him to live forevermore. What an hour. It approached him. He looked ahead to it. He looked for the coming of it. What an hour. In Cana, he said, the hour is not yet come, but soon it came. Soon it came. What an hour for him to look to enter this world, to grow to the age of a man and know that this hour approached, this hour when the judgment of this world would come upon him, when his father would slay him for her, for her. For you, sinner, if you're Christ's. For you, believer. What an hour. The agony, the torment, the sorrow, the death which was set before him. The Lamb of God prepared for the slaying. John 4:23. We read, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He came in the gospel to make known the hour of his death, the hour of salvation, to seek out his people and draw them unto him. Draw them unto him when he was lifted up above the earth, that all the world should see and all his own should be drawn unto him, united with him, that they should worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour cometh and now is. Have you heard in this hour? Has God come unto you in this gospel as he came unto the woman? As he came unto the disciples in the person of Jesus Christ and said, the hour is come. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. The hour is come. The hour is come. Matthew 26:45, we read that he came to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. They went forth, they went into Gethsemane, and the disciples slept as Christ travailed in prayer before his God. That this hour, this cup should be taken from him. nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Those words we read in John chapter 12, where he prays, save me from this hour, but acknowledges, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Elsewhere we read that this cup should be taken from him, but nevertheless he knew he must drink it. And yet as he travailed, the disciples slept. They slept like you and I sleep. Oh, the sleep, the slumber that causes our ears to be shut and our eyes to close and our hearts to be hardened when Christ stands before us. There is Christ approaching this hour. In this hour, he'd already said, the hour has come. The moments of his death approached. That hour that spanned from the Passover meal at which he was betrayed to the night in which he travails in prayer with his Father, to the oncoming of the scribes and the priests and the authorities that took him and captured him and then took him to trial and betrayed him and called out for him to be crucified. That hour that then took him to be led outside of Jerusalem carrying a cross upon which he must be crucified. That hour that spanned the hours upon the cross, 3 hours in the light and 3 hours in the darkness, until he cried out at the end, it is finished. And having taken away sin, he gave up the ghost. That hour, and that hour, when it's set before you and I, we slumber like the disciples slumbered then. Oh, how sleep comes upon our souls. We cannot look except he causes us. We cannot hear except he makes us to hear. We cannot believe except he says unto our souls, live. As Christ rose up from praying unto his God, as his death approached, he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And he rises up in resurrection power today and comes unto you that sleep and says unto you, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can you not take 1 hour out of your lifetime to behold what I did at this hour to save sinners like you? What your sins have done unto me. What your unbelief did to me in crucifying me. Can you not watch for 1 hour? Well, can you not? Oh, but 1 hour to go and to hear the gospel. Oh, but 1 hour to hear the word of Christ. Oh, but 1 hour to behold his glory. Oh, you're too busy. Too much to do. Too many concerns. Which will take you to the grave. Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Thirdly, he says of this hour, unto those that took him, that it was their hour. Luke 22, Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Betrayed into their hands, they take him, and they come unto him like they were taking a common thief. They come unto him with violence to force him. And he says unto them, It's your hour and the hour of the powers of darkness. He allowed them to take him. They could not take him of themselves. They could not put the Son of God to death of themselves. He had power to lay down his life and to take it up again. But he came for this hour. He came to offer up his life. He came as the Lamb of God. So their hour was given unto them. They had their hour. They got to do what they wanted with their hour. Their heart's desires were fulfilled. You want things. You want to avoid Christ. You want to dismiss him. You want to live your own life as though he's not there. You want him silenced. You want him in the grave. So he comes unto you like he came unto them, and he says unto you, Well, go ahead then. This is your hour. And the powers of darkness, go ahead then. Use your hour how you will with me. Take me and my gospel and silence me. Take me and put me to death. Do what you will. So they did. And so you do in your hearts. So we do by nature in our unbelief. We take him. We take his gospel, we trample it underfoot, we shut our ears to it, we go another way and we say, That's it, I won't hear any more. And the power of darkness which grips us from within, which moves our every motion, the power of sin within us, takes the nails and nails this Saviour to the cross. It takes the Son of God and does away with him. We cry out with the mob, crucify him, crucify him. We spit upon him. We jeer at him. We get away from him. We sneer, we laugh, we mock. And there he is, he's gone. What can he do? What can he do to me? And except he turns our heart. And except from the cross he looks upon us in grace and mercy as we crucify him. And looks upon us in particular and says of us as we crucify him, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Except his love is shed upon us, we will be left to the powers of darkness to pull us down evermore from that hour that was given unto us, our hour, to be pulled down from it into the depths of hell by the powers of darkness that led us to that day and to that hour and will take us away into everlasting judgment. Oh, what a thing to be given to them. They got what they wanted, but it destroyed them forever. Oh, may we not be given what we ask for, but may God in grace give us what we need at this hour, because of the hour in which the Saviour suffered for his people. This hour. Fourthly, this hour. Christ said, Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That prince moved in the hearts of those scribes and Pharisees. They were given their hour. The power of darkness moved them. But in so doing, in taking Christ and slaying him, the prince of this world was cast out. This hour, your hour, the hour. Fifthly, his hour. It was their hour to indulge their sin, but it was his hour to save his people from their sins. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. This hour, his hour. It was his hour. An hour is not yet come. The hour is come. And Jesus knew that his hour was come. He came for this purpose and this hour. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But when his hour came, sixthly, her hour came. Her hour came. His hour was her hour. John 16, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Her hour is an hour of travail and sorrow to bring forth life. His hour was an hour of travail and sorrow to bring forth life. He came to suffer this hour for the joy that was set before him, we read in Hebrews 12. What joy to bring forth life. By his death, this woman lived. By his death, sinners were brought to life. By his death, the Holy Spirit brought forth many sons unto glory. Woman, what have I to do with thee? The hour is come. His hour and her hour. It only took that hour to save her. That time, that moment, that event, for him to take her sin and make her to be the righteousness of God in him. We see this hour, her hour, the woman's hour, pictured elsewhere in the Gospels. In Matthew 9, we read that Jesus turned him about. And when he saw the woman, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. She was made whole from that hour. A picture appointed to this hour of Christ's death that made the woman, the church, his bride, whole. Matthew 15, we read again. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Believer, your hour is his hour, is the hour, is the hour. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. When his hour came, the disciples, his people, scattered. They could not remain with him. Like the night before, they, as it were, slept. Yet he came for them. He came for those who were scattered. He came for those who slept. He came for those who in their hearts by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. He came for the lost. He came for the wretched. He came for sinners like you and I, the unbelieving. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The hour is come. The hour in which he would bring forth wine out of water. In which he would bring righteousness where there was but sin. In which he would shine forth light in the darkness. In which he would bring forth life out of death. That hour in which death was swallowed up in victory, swallowed up by everlasting life, swallowed up by righteousness. That hour, the hour, the hour in which he endured the darkness. 3 hours of darkness upon the cross. The darkness of sin. The darkness of unbelief, the darkness of this world, the darkness of judgment, the darkness of separation from God, the darkness of the fires of God's wrath, the darkness of the waters of the deep, the darkness, that hour in which he endured the torment, the billows of God's wrath, the waters of God's wrath flowing over his head. That hour in which he felt the fires of God's wrath consuming him as the Lamb of God was burnt up. The sacrifice was consumed by the fires, roasted upon the altar. The hour in which he was abandoned and forsaken and rejected of all men. All men. Believer and unbeliever, chosen and not chosen, elect and reprobate, they all abandoned him. But the chosen, the elect's sins were laid upon him. He was made their sin. He bore their sins in that hour that they through him should live. Oh, what an hour. What an hour. What an hour. This word, this term, the hour, is not used in many places in the scriptures. In the New Testament, we read of it in several places, largely those that we've mentioned, largely concerning this hour of Christ. As he was plunged into the fires of God's wrath. In the Old Testament, the only places we read of an hour. This time span mentioned are found in Daniel, largely concerning the fiery furnace and those who, if they failed to worship King Nebuchadnezzar, would be thrown into that furnace the same hour. Those references in Daniel pointing to the furnace, in which walked the Son of God, who endured the flames for him. This hour. From the sixth hour upon the cross to the ninth hour, there was darkness. This hour, the hour spanned those hours. There was darkness, which he endured. But then, at the end, it was finished. Righteousness had been brought in. 3 hours in the hour. 3 hours when the powers of darkness raged, but when the powers of God conquered through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the hour. When the light shone in the darkness, when salvation was wrought, when salvation took the dead and made them to live. What an hour. What an hour. In Acts, we read of Cornelius and of his salvation. In Acts chapter 10, verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. At the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the earth from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. And then, in type and figure, that same man who rose from the dead after taking away the darkness stood before Cornelius in bright clothing. That man, Cornelius's saviour, Mary's saviour, Matthew's saviour, John's saviour, Abraham's saviour, David's saviour, Daniel's saviour, that man in bright clothing is coming again. His hour endured. Salvation brought in. He is coming again. There's an hour coming when he will come to this world again and stand before us. When the hour of judgment is come. When the hour of the end of time is come. He's coming again. Are you ready? Are you looking? Will you be with him? We read of this hour in Revelation chapter 14. When John wrote, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. The everlasting gospel is come your way today. Oh, like Cornelius, may we be brought at this hour to behold him in bright clothing. As Christ said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, but he is coming. He is coming for his own. He is coming to gather them in because of that hour, the hour, her hour, his hour, which he endured for her, that he should save her from her sins. Did he come for you?